Okay, we'll go ahead and call the August meeting of the Fauldron County Quorum Court to order. Stand with me if you would, and I think we are blessed today to have a couple of very special guests, students here in the area. We have Paisley Collins and Elliot Martin. Paisley's going to lead us in prayer, invocation. She's a member of the Teen Leaders and Cloverleaf 4-H Club, and with her, Elliot Martin is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And she's a member of the Teen Leaders and S7 Shooting Sports Club. We're so honored to have you here with us. And if you could just test that microphone out right there.
Hello.
All right, let us pray with her.
Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us all to get here safely. We pray your guidance shines bright not only today, but also every day forward for each of us. Lord, thank you for this much needed rain. And we ask that you see everyone home safe and sound. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Be seated. All right, a couple of house cleaning items. I trust everybody saw that we had a power outage today, and you've climbed four flights of stairs here. Apologize for that. I don't actually think it was related to the weather. I think somebody hit a power pole, and for whatever reason, safety layers with elevators, they are non-functional right now. I'm sure they're functioning according to the way they're supposed to, and it's got something to do with safety. Otis Elevator will be here in the morning. Didn't do us any good tonight. So thank you for your patience with that tonight. And I guess we all got our round of exercise today. So I'd like to also start. We are honored to have Mayflower Mayor Danny Hester here today. I want to thank you for coming and want to recognize you. Also, Circuit Judge Chuck Clausen is here. I want to thank you. And I noticed that we have our Assessor Chrissy Lewis here in the audience as well. Have I missed any elected officials other than those here tonight to serve in the quorum court meeting? So, all right. Next item on our agenda is the roll call, Madam Secretariat.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Here.
Coates. Kendricks.
Here.
Knight. Lahosky.
Here.
Lyon.
Here.
Meeks.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Schock.
Here.
Strain.
Here.
Tyler.
Here.
Yorgi.
Here.
We do have a quorum, is that correct?
Correct.
Also, I will say, I don't think she would mind, but one of our quorum court members is sick with COVID and is not here tonight. So hope she's doing fine. We've got another traveling on business, could not be here in time. But there is a quorum. All right. Next, we have approval of the journal. Members of the court, you've got last month's journal in your packet. I trust you've had time to review that. I would entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the journal.
Second.
Motion and second. Are there any suggested changes, any corrections or deletions? Seeing none, all in favor of approval of the journal as presented in the binder, indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Journal will be approved. Next, we have county officer's report, and our chief deputy, Chad Woolley, is here. Chief Woolley, do you have a sheriff's office report this month?
All right. Well, good evening. So the sheriff's report for July, our Unit 1 head count was 157 with a capacity of 118. Our Unit 2 male facility, our head count was 150 average. Our females averaged at 69. Our juveniles averaged at 11. We had 416 intakes, 421 releases. We averaged about 21 ADC inmates housed. That number's fluctuated up and down. It's been a lot lower as well, due to other counties able to take some of these inmates off our hands as far as ADC. Total number of calls to the sheriff's office was 1,780. Of those, 75 were violent crimes and domestics, 51 were thefts and criminal mischief, 102 animal calls. We had two citations, no warnings. As far as our animal calls, in our Faulkner County Sheriff's Office, reserve deputies put in 457 hours last month. Our criminal investigation division, they assigned 28 cases. They closed 12. And you can see our transport division did 82 transports last month, and you can see the breakdown in that. That'd be all I have, Judge, unless you have something for me.
Any questions for Chief Woolley? Chief, thank you so much. Thank you for Sheriff's Department Reserve Program. And with no further questions, we appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Next report, the county clerk report is available as always. Are there any questions for our county clerk and secretariat, Margaret Darter? Seeing none, we'll move to the treasurer's report. Our treasurer, Scott Sanson, couldn't be with us tonight, but Jennifer Massey, his chief deputy, is here. The report is in your binder, as always. I've already looked at it. Hopefully you've had a chance to look through that. I'll give you a moment, and if you've got any questions for Jennifer or for referral to Treasurer Scott Sanson, just speak up, or you could call Scott tomorrow. And I will just say, it looks like sales numbers, sales tax numbers, the three-month average rebounded, and then the property tax income looked like it's tracking parallel from last month. Any questions? Thank you for being here, Jennifer. Thank you. We'll move on to the road and ARP report, Administrator Tom Anderson.
Thank you, Your Honor. If you will turn to page 4 of the ARP report. The PPE line item, that's personal protection equipment for the fire departments that we funded. Everybody has their gear. We're just waiting for the final bills to come in. Otherwise, that is a completed project. The next page, on page 5. We've about finished the expenditures on the courthouse remodel, so we'll have that completed pretty shortly and have all the money executed on that one. On page 6, Lake Conway Community Wastewater Utility, they are planning to start decommissioning of the old system in December. If everything goes right, they'll have the new system up and running before then, if everything goes as they anticipate.
Good.
And they expect the demolition probably to use up the last little bit of money they'll have left. On page 7, CAPCA, they have started spending money, and they are on course to spend all their money. We were a little bit worried about their pace of spending to make sure they got it all, but we feel pretty confident that they'll execute all their money before the deadline of next year. That concludes my ARP report. Subject to any questions. Yes, sir.
Mr. Anderson, you don't see any issue. I know we'll be hopefully proceeding forward with the jail anytime now. I know this money has to be spent by the end of 2026. We won't have any issue spending that $7 million appropriated in the jail.
We don't see it. We'll submit it, spend it all pretty quick, I think,
once
we get rolling.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Other questions?
Road report. We picked up our chip seal operations. We had 8.4 miles since the last report on Echo Valley Road, Happy Valley Road, and Old Springfield Road. We completed our cape seals on Shaw Bridge, Merritt, Linder, Barrel Road South, and Rocky Point to Barrel Road South for a total of 11 miles. I will say that went a lot smoother this year. I think the crew did a little bit better job of traffic control than the last year's crew did. And we got the word out ahead of time a lot better than we did last year. We actually had zero complaints about traffic this year. So we were proud about that. Last Thursday, Friday, we started for a test a new preservation treatment called a fog seal. And we put it on a couple roads with asphalt and chip seal, and we think it's probably going to be for chip seal. But it's an emulsion that you put on there that seals small cracks and prevents water from going down into the pavement. And it turns the pavement black. So you can take, we had Happy Valley Road was a freshly chip sealed road, and we put that treatment on part of the chip seal road, and it actually looks like a fresh asphalt road. So we're anxious to see how that works over time. Like I said, this is just a test in hopes to extend the life of all of our roads a little bit further that we use it on. Subject to questions. Oh, and we took a couple of metal storage buildings down at the road shop. That's in anticipation, and we're about to start the dirt work for the new shop. So we're making preparations to get the equipment in place to start that dirt work. Subject to that, any questions? That completes my report.
Any questions for Administrator Anderson? I will say I'm really, really happy with the efforts and just the focus on not just doing the same thing that we've done for decades, figuring out road preservation techniques that protect our investment, which is the biggest investment we have, and that is our money tied up in roads. Really happy so far with what we've seen out of the Cape Seal program. You know, we've been through a winter and now mostly through a summer, and we see no red flags, and it all comes down to, do we believe the money that we're spending to keep good, long, arterial-type county roads in their better half of their condition and their life cycle before having to let them get to the worst half of their life cycle to justify a rebuild? And so that's really what it's all about. And Tom came to us, 2 weeks ago and said, hey, we've got an opportunity to purchase some material for fog seal at a pretty good price. I recommend doing the fog seal on asphalt and chip seal in such a way that we can see sort of a before or after, a treated, untreated in both of those surfaces. And so it will tell us whether that's a good spend to use going forward. But really excites me. I appreciate Tom's leadership there. And I really look forward to see what that testing tells us both in Cape Seal and Fog Seal. But, Tom, if you want to give them the names of those roads so they can run out and see it if they want to, feel free to drive out and look at it.
Probably the best one, easiest one, is the new Chip Seal, and that is Happy Valley up in the northeast part. That was the cleanest looking division between asphalt and chip seal.
Very good. Anything to add?
No, sir. That's all I have.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Next, we have County Administrator Randy Higgins.
Thank you, Your Honor. Justices, if you'll look, I passed out a updated activity log from the Veterans Service Office, and it really is just a mid-year review of where we are with the number of office visits that we've had in our VSO and our phone calls. And if you compare it, I mean, you look at it, we're not even running a full 3 years, 2.5 years that we've been tracking this. On average in 2023, probably running office visits, below 40 per month. Last month, we had over 136 office visits that they're dealing with. And then just fielding phone calls, the phone calls picked up, from, 35, 40 phone calls a month to, 557 in July. We have hired, you guys appropriated the money for us to hire a full-time VSO. We made the decision to hire an additional part-time. He works 3 days a week, to see how that was going to work and then potentially move him into a full-time position. It's very successful, working out quite well, and we are in discussions about when we get into the budget year, going ahead and moving him into full-time going into 2026. I was telling, I think Justice Moss and I were talking about it earlier, we have a little bit of a problem, and the problem is that surrounding counties are saying, hey, if you really want to get some help, go to Faulkner County. And our reply is, we're good with that. If veterans are getting supported, we're good with that. Any questions about this report?
I would just like to say, Mr. Higgins, I appreciate you and the judge's office and this court for doing that. Before we appropriated that money, before we got that full-time veteran service office, I had people from other counties calling to me to complain about them having to field Faulkner County veterans and serving them. So I'm glad we switched that.
Thank you, Justice.
I just was going to ask about the method for counting the numbers here. How are y'all kind of keeping?
Yeah, so they keep a log, and they log everything that comes in.
Gotcha.
So I think they're doing it mainly manually, but they have a log with everything that they're keeping.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, seeing no other questions about that, a quick update on project. No update on the jail at this point. I reported last month that we were in the pre-bid evaluation mode. We still are. We're still on track with breaking ground this fall, hopefully in October. But we're not really hearing any news. I get a couple of phone calls where they want clarification questions from Nabholz, from the contractor, but they're still working on that at this point. Courthouse, as Tom alluded to, we're getting close to the end of that project. I think last month when I reported, we had three key components we were waiting on. One was furniture, one were the arch windows, and then the sound system, and then the drapes. The sound system has been installed, and we have been testing and working with it. I think we're going to be very pleased with it. The furniture has arrived, and it is in boxes, sitting in the middle of the floor, but I won't let them unbox it until we do the windows, because when we do the windows, the courtroom will be open to open air. We don't want to get a bunch of dust and dirt on our new furniture, so we'll wait and do the furniture last. Met with the contractor earlier this afternoon. Windows should be here this week. They anticipate once they get the scaffolding built and geared up, it'll take a day per window. I believe there's 12 of the arch windows. We're looking at 12, 13 days, week and a half, 2 weeks to get that done. And then the drape contractor is on standby. So they are prepared to come in mid-September. When the windows are done, the drape people will come in and get that squared away. They'll have to have scaffolding. They think it'll take a few days. As of right now, without any unforeseen delays, we're still on track to be back in courtroom A in October for our committee meetings and quorum court meeting. Any questions for me?
Justice Meeks.
If now is not the right time, you can let me know, but can we get an update on the Faulkner County Animal Shelter?
In reference to the
equipment, I know that there was a big blow up with the heat and everything.
Here's the deal. We don't pay attention to the blow up on social media. It is what it is. What happened is that the system that is in the kennel area, it's a separate system than what's in the office area, and it was designed to keep the temperature between 50 degrees when it's cool and 80 degrees, and it was under designed. So that was brought to our attention early in July when it started getting, warm and it wasn't keeping up. We met with the architect and the mechanical engineer. They took some readings to make sure that the system was installed appropriately, and it was under designed. The mechanical contractor, when we met with them, they said they would do the upgrade. I got some bills today. It's going to be around $30,000, and the contractor is picking that cost up. It won't cost the county anything. Right now, the temperatures are running in the upper 70s, maybe a little over 80, but it's doing its job now. All right. Any other questions? Very good. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Administrator Higgins. All right, and I have to circle back. We're fortunate to have one of our county extension agents, our administrative agent, Mary Beth Gross, and I was going to give her a chance to speak to you. I think she's got a handout, but she is with our students tonight. This is a school night. We're going to let them get out early, and apologize for making you wait a little longer than I told you you'd have to, but
not a problem.
Feel free. You have the floor.
Thank you. So, Mary Beth Gross, Faulkner County Extension Office. I've called all of you this week. I didn't get a hold of all of you, but I called you all this week, and if I didn't, I'll call you again tomorrow. So, heads up. We are having our extension tour on Friday. So, that is the tour that we put together with our office to kind of showcase a lot of the things that we've been doing throughout the year, and we started our office, and then I'll do a little welcome and kind of explain what's going to happen throughout the day. You'll get on an air-conditioned bus, and we'll go throughout the county. We're going to have four different stops highlighting our 4-H programs, our Master Gardener program, our agriculture side, and I'll talk about the Family Consumer Science side when we're at the office. And then when we get back at the office after the tour, you have a fish fry. So if there was no other reason, come for the fish. So if you're able to come, if you don't have my number, I'll get it to you. I'll call you tomorrow and let me know if you're able to come or not so that we can have a good RSVP for the meal. But other than that, we are rocking and rolling. And that's why I gave every one of you a handout tonight in case you're not able to come on Friday. You'll kind of have a nice update. A couple things to note, our 4-H program, the membership is higher than I've ever seen it. We're over 550. I think it's 569, that members that we're at right now with 27 total clubs in the county, which is huge. Our Master Gardener program is one of the biggest in the state. I think we're at least top three biggest Master Gardener programs in the state with over 250 members. And we have another Master Gardener class starting this October. So if you or someone you know wants to be a part of that program, it starts in October. It's about $150. You go through a 40-hour training to get certified and educated properly. And then we you get to pick / we assign you a community project to be a part of. So one of those is the courthouse. One's the museum. The library's in town. The Legacy Garden, all over. So you get to pick one to kind of be a regular volunteer at, amongst other things. And we have volunteer hour requirements to be a Master Gardener. So any Master Gardener that you see, they have to meet a certain amount of hours volunteer during a year to maintain their status. So they're very active. They're very committed. Family consumer science programs have been running me wild this summer, which is great. And Kevin is beating the heat out there trying to help these producers. We've had some issues with earworms that he's trying to deal with, especially with the heat right now. He's kind of having some producers that are facing some concerns with that, with the lack of water. And so this is normal stuff. This is what we do all the time, but people call us because they trust us. And so we're kind of tasked with the giving them that research based on biased information. So we'd love to have you Friday. If you can't make it, that's fine. You got a snapshot in your hand. But any questions for me?
I just want to tell you, I appreciate what you do. I appreciate what you do for the kids and for the farmers. We're covering up farmland all over the country with solar panels and all kind of other stuff. And I'm just glad to see that y'all are out there helping them produce food. You know, these kids, especially in the 4-H programs, building up the FFA. I've seen so many kids come out of there and do great things. I appreciate what you do.
Thank you. And we got the fair coming up in September. So be on the lookout for that. It's going to be great. And thank these kids for coming. Thank you for allowing them to have an opportunity to speak.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Any further questions for Extension Agent Mary Beth Gross? I want to thank our students, and we just appreciate your leadership. We're all looking at our future leaders, and we hope you enjoyed your time here. We thank you for coming to take part in our meeting today, and we'd ask you to come back anytime. We want you to feel welcome. And so, any further comments for our students? Anyone else impressed besides me? That's right. I don't think I could have done this at that age. I know I couldn't have. So thank you all. And you're free to leave anytime. If you want to hang around, you're welcome to do that. Thank you. Thank you all. Let's give them a round of applause. Appreciate Justice Allison's comments. You know, we sit here and we're impressed. And a lot of times we need a little bit of urging to say, you know, a word of encouragement to our students. And that 4-H club, the FFA, the 4-H, everything that they do, that educational program, is off the charts. I urge it every year. If you get a chance, go get involved with that just to see, if nothing else. And then, of course, the entire ag, all the many programs they have, just appreciative of the extension program across the state of Arkansas. And if you travel around the country, you see how blessed we are to have that here in this state. Okay, so moving right along, next on the agenda is standing committee reports. And we start right off the bat with two justices as chairs of committees who are absent. One was traveling, just couldn't make it back in time just tonight. He is chair of infrastructure committee, and I don't believe there's an update with infrastructure this month. And Courts and Public Safety, Justice Mary Coates, we wish her well. Hope she's well soon. That's Courts and Public Safety. Any Courts and Public Safety updates? Okay. Thank you, Noah. Thank you. Next, we move to Justice Lahosky, Budget and Finance.
Thank you, Judge. We had a meeting at 5:30 tonight. Due to scheduling conflicts, we weren't able to get together last week. And we passed two ordinances for approval to the court tonight. Thank you.
Okay, and Justice Kendrick, Personnel Committee.
Judge, Personnel Committee met last week. We considered one ordinance for the Mount Vernon Enola SRO, and we forwarded that to Budget and Finance. That's all I've got.
Excellent. Moving right along, okay, we come to the public comments. As I look to the larger than normal crowd here tonight, we welcome you. any members of the public, we're glad to have you here and appreciate your interest in your government here. As is our normal policy, if you have any questions or comments about any item of business on the agenda tonight, feel free to just step to the mic, and I'm not sure if any of you are going to speak. I see Mayor Hester, so Mayor Hester, we know who you are, but if you would identify your subject tonight you're going to speak about.
Good afternoon. My name is Danny Hester. Mm-hmm. I'm the mayor of City of Mayflower. Mm-hmm. I'm here tonight to ask your support and for your approval of the liquor license for Rusty and Robin's restaurant that's going to be located down close to Plum Creek. We're excited about this. This is, I don't know if you've been down there, if you've seen the plans and this type of thing. This is going to be not just an ordinary beer joint. I've heard some people say, oh, well, we don't need another beer joint in our county. What this is going to be is something that we're going to be really proud of. I want to first clarify that this is not within the city limits of Mayflower, but it's very close to us. And I've only been in office, this coming January will be 2 years. During my time here, I'm constantly asking our residents, what do we need? What do you want? This type of thing. We need restaurants. We need other food options and this type of thing. This is going to give us something that people don't have to go to Little Rock, to Maumelle, or to Conway, because I continue to hear, why don't we have a really nice restaurant in our area that if I want to go and get a pizza and get a beer, I can. Or if I want to go and get something, a nice meal with some wine, I'd like to do that. Because I'm being told, I'm still going. I'm going to Little Rock. I'm going to Maumelle and to Conway. What I want to bring to you or to ask you, in my estimation, this is going to be comparable to Mike's Place. This is not going to be just an ordinary restaurant. It's going to be over the top. And being on the canal there, Plarm, it just gives a backdrop that's going to be, you know, we don't have anything close to that. We're lucky enough right now that Mayflower has two new subdivisions that they've already started on. One is Vineyard 2. We're adding approximately 220 houses. D.R. Horton is the developer. They've already sold quite a few of those houses. Another is a subdivision off of Center Road that's going to be producing somewhere around 230 houses. So we've got roughly 2,300 residents now. There's other developers looking to build some other subdivisions. Excuse me. But what I continue to hear from the new people that are moving in, where's the restaurants? We don't want to go to Conway. We don't want to go to Little Rock or whatever. We need something here. And keep in mind, it's only a short distance from Mayflower city limits to where the restaurant's going to be. Again, I'm speaking longer than I thought, but I just want to confer that this is going to be a super nice restaurant. And I hope you keep that in mind. It's not going to be a liquor store or a beer, just an ordinary beer joint. It's going to be a classy organization. And we can't wait. We can't wait for it to be built. I've already toured the construction site, and it's really going to be nice. We're really proud of it. That's why we're here tonight, just to support, you know, and ask you, please vote yes to give them the liquor license. I thank you. And also, any of you that would like to, we've got plenty of places to move into Mayflower. We'd be glad to. Do you have a business that you'd like to establish? I'll find you a place. Right now, we're talking with two. I can't divulge the information. We're talking to one fast food restaurant and another smaller restaurant. We're looking for business in Mayflower. So again, if you have any ideas or you know, you want to come down, please give me a call. I'd be glad to talk with you. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Hester. And Everett, the cheerleader from Mayflower, I appreciate your leadership down there. Yes, sir. Please identify yourself. State the subject. I assume you're here on the same subject.
Yes, sir. I am on the same subject. My name is Jack Paul. I'm an alderman for Mayflower as well. And we've been needing restaurants. We have no place to eat in the evenings. Like the mayor said, have a beer and a pizza or whatever. So this coming in with the new overpass, we need businesses. Our little town's growing, and I'm proud of it. And I think this would do wonders for us. And I'm going to throw my support in for Mr. Waters and his restaurant and everything I could do to support that, so that he'll have a better chance with this license to making his business go in our community. I thank y'all very much.
Alderman Paul, I appreciate you showing up today, and I apologize for missing recognizing you earlier. Thank you for coming. Yeah, identify yourself, state your subject.
Mark Hickman, alderman with the City of Mayflower as well, and thank y'all for give me just a moment to speak, but in support of the Creekside restaurant, when I was looking at, when I heard the restaurant was coming in, I was excited about it because it seems like that south side of the county has just been just dormant for so many years. Yeah. And then this old house, ever since I moved from Pulaski County to Faulkner County, and I'll give you a quick rundown. The reason I did that is because I got full custody of her when she was a young girl. And we moved to Mayflower because I could put my thumb on her if I needed to. And one day I call and my daughter gotten out of school, and I'm at my office and working and tried to get a hold of her, and I couldn't get a hold of her. So I called Mayflower Police Department. I said, "Hey, this is Mark Hickman. My daughter is on such and such. Would you run by there and check out?" He said, "I'm right around the corner. Hang on just a minute." And so within 15 seconds, he's at my house. My daughter's out there playing in the front yard. And he said, "Young lady, you better get on the phone with your dad before you get in trouble." I tell you that because it's Mayflower. It's people move there. There's a lot of houses coming in. It's starting to develop a little bit. We're thankful for that. But it's also a place where people want to come and put their kids in the school and raise their families there in Mayflower. It's a great place. It's right outside of Pulaski County. So you get out of the rat race there and get in a little quiet Mayflower. Now there's a restaurant looking at coming in, and it's a good restaurant. It's Tim and Robin, I know all these guys, and it's a place where people are going to go and spend their tax dollars. And if we're worried about anything as far as alcohol and things like that, you've got Cheers and Cypress Social, and you hit the Mexican restaurants and Mall Mail. You've got two liquor stores, right? Probably you can almost throw a baseball and hit them over the line right there. Plus a little beer joint there, or a little bar, I guess, that you can go into. That's not what this is. This is going to be a place where all of us, everybody sitting in this room, are going to be proud of that we have this in our county. And I would like to ask you to seriously consider this. People right now are going to they're going to Pulaski County and other places to spend their tax dollars. Why wouldn't we want to keep it here? And if you've got it here under your nose, we can kind of control it, make sure everything's good, make sure everybody's safe. And I really can't think of a negative point to it. So thank you for listening to me, and have a good evening.
Alderman Hickman, I appreciate you coming. Thank you for your service. And clearly I don't see well in my advancing age. I recognize thank Rusty. Yeah, Mr. Waters, identify yourself. State your subject.
My name is Rusty Waters. Robin and I and Tim are the developers and I guess the owners of the Creekside and Plarm Station. Excuse me. We just want y'all to know that we're going to provide a safe and respectable place, not just your restaurant that's serving alcohol. We're not going to put up with any mess. I'm too old to be dealing with crazy people, you know. We want good food, good atmosphere. We're not going to be up there till 10 o'clock at night, 9, you know, doing loud music. This is not like that. This is going to be like a Mike's Place where you can have a business meeting, have a family get-together, and just have some social time with your family and friends. And we really would like for your support. It also is a historical place that bring asset to Faulkner County. We're going to sell merchandise that reflect that area, like hats and shirts and cups and coffee cups and stuff like that. But that's what our plan is. We want it to be a destination, not just a restaurant. Some place to come see the history of the Battle of, of Pelham, the, all the Pelham Station stuff, the railroad, the stagecoach road, all the history of the Confederate Army being there. We have some history there, family history of the Atkinson farm. The excuse me, we found some old letters in there in the ceilings. Channel 4 came out and did a story on it. I don't know if y'all might have seen it or saw it on our Facebook page. Then NBC Nightly News has contacted Robin and want to do a follow-up story because it was aired in California, Louisiana, and North Carolina. So we feel like it's going to be a destination, not just a restaurant that serves a glass of wine or a cocktail or a beer. We want it to be a respectable place and a safe place. Thank you all very much.
My name is Tim Smith. I'll be the operator of Creekside, and I just wanted to add a couple of things to what everybody's already said. I've ran restaurants for over 30 years, serving food. The alcohol will be new, but I have done some research on it. I own and operate Peppermill Cafe and Grill in Cabot now, and most of my friends will tell you when they come in, I'm not in the office. I'm out there. I'm cooking. That's what I do. That's what I've done for forever. And that's what I'll be doing. I'll be serving food. I just want to say food is first. Alcohol is just an option that I feel like we need. If there's one person in the family that wants a drink with their dinner, then they're going to drive to Maumelle or somewhere else and pass us by. I know in the restaurant is competitive, and I know to compete with the other big chains that does have that option, that I feel like that I need to be that to do that also. We're going to be open for lunch and dinner hours only, and our goal is to be a family restaurant. That's all I have. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
My name is Russ Webb, and I live in Mayflower. But I wanted to give you a little history with Robin and Rusty. If you go look at their other Stonehill Ranch venue, it's a nice venue. They do a lot of charity work, help us with the graduation stuff there. And we had our Chamber of Commerce bingo night and a casino night there. So it's not that they just want to open a restaurant. They just want to continue with the success they've had. They've opened Stonehill Ranch, which has lots of nice houses, brings in a good tax income for Faulkner County. So they're good, solid people. And I just hope this really works out for them, but I know it will. Thanks.
Thank you, Russ. Good to see you. Anyone else? All right, moving right along. Special reports. I mentioned earlier, we also thank to have Judge Chuck Lawson with us tonight. Give us a third division update. Sorry to catch you off guard here.
Sorry.
Don't mind a bit.
Listen, I appreciate the time to come speak to you. I wanted to kind of catch everybody up to date where we're at. We're about, I think, 8 months in from starting to receive the grant money that we were approved for towards the end of last year. So just as kind of a reminder, refresher, we got the Free City Grant, which provides resources and funding for people that are justice involved, so those that have charges in the criminal justice system. Then we got the 80 CE grant specifically for our drug court participants. Since this time, we've worked really hard with Mr. Sanson and Mr. Higgins. It kind of streamlined the process because the appropriation comes from y'all, we spend the money, and then you get reimbursed from the funds. And that seems to be a pretty seamless process so far. I think the funds are reimbursed within 24, 48 hours, and that is working out pretty well. So what I want to do is, like I promised when we first started this process, is to update you regularly and let you know what we're doing for you and what we're doing for the community. So since we've been receiving funds, we've had 100 contacts with people in need of services, and those are people suffering from addiction and that are in the criminal justice system. 40 of those are screened for drug court. We're now averaging over 6 screenings per week. 18 have been accepted into drug court. 4 were sent to inpatient treatment. We've decreased the time from identification of need to treatment significantly. And when I mean significantly, prior to us kind of starting this process and assessing, working with kind of in the parameters of the justice system, which never works as quickly as you really want it to, usually we would identify people that were in need of services within 90 or 120 days of arrest, okay, which is far too slow. Most of the time they're sitting in jail. Now we're 24 to 72 hours. So we've worked within the constructs of the criminal justice system from arrest and first appearance on to arraignment to decrease that time, identify those people. Once we've identified them, we reach out, we make contact with them, whether they're in the jail or they happen to bond out, or we catch, and then we sometimes catch them again when they're at arraignments, which is usually about 30 days after arrest. Because of this and being able to identify these folks so quickly, we've saved the county, and I'm using rough numbers here, approximately $100,000 in the time since, again, we've been receiving funds. And those are just days in jail. I reached out to Chief Woolley. He tells me it's about $51 a day to hold somebody at the detention center. So, you know, you take those averages, and I think that's a pretty accurate number. We've provided part of the grant, you got to remember, is treatment, housing, transportation, and then medical services. We've provided 846 rides to folks using our community partner, Yellow Cab. That gets them to court, their supervision appointments, work, drug treatment, mental health counseling. We provided stable housing, stable and safe housing to over 20 people. We spent $14,000 for medical care, dental, and then we provided glasses for folks as well. That gets them out back in the community, working and being productive. We're working on, we've either signed or we are finalizing now with the help of Mr. Murphy, MOUs, so memorandums of understanding with Yellow Cab for transportation, Coho, Capca, Harbor, Bethlehem House for housing. Some of that short term, some of it more permanent. The Fletcher Group, they're doing a housing assessment for us. That's one of the things I brought up in one of our earlier meetings, is we're trying to get an idea across the county of what housing is available. Then we're going to work with Coho and Capca as far as vouchers for long-term housing. We've set up a detox, medical detox through Conway Regional Medical Center. We've hired a second peer support specialist. My staff in the Faulkner County Drug Court has joined the CATCH Coalition, which is the Central Arkansas Team for Community Health. My staff actually presented to that group back in June. Peer support has been providing free Narcan training in the community. We've partnered with a local university for research and statistic gathering and analysis, so that's going to help us better understand the areas that we need to focus on and the work that we're doing currently. We've implemented a new case management system. We developed the initial groundwork for our Track 2 program. In our drug court right now, we handle the high-risk, high-needs, which means we don't catch everybody. And a lot of times, just shock, you know how it is, a lot of times that high-risk, high-needs is going to be defined by they've got a long criminal history. What I want to do is develop a second track for those that don't have that criminal history but still have the need, and then we can catch them early and then provide them services so they don't reoffend. They break out of the cycle of addiction, and they see the benefits of a sober life. We've continued professional development for our staff. Obviously, as you might imagine, anybody that's done anything with grants, it's pretty labor-intensive, lots of reporting. Our team is represented by Mr. Julian Wiggins, my program director, has met each and every timeline goal placed on us. So we're working hard for you. Recently, we were evaluated, as recently as 2 weeks ago, evaluated by the All Rise Treatment Court Institute. They set the standards for drug court across the country, and we were determined to be exemplary in all the major categories, and those include public safety due process, treatment practices, responses to participant behavior, and role of the judge. I saved that one for last, so I'm the one that gets to talk. So with that, I don't know if you have any questions for me. I hope to come back to you at least every 6 months and update you. These numbers are going to continue to grow. We're identifying people earlier and identifying more of them that are going to be eligible for services, and we hope to, again, continue to track and attack this problem of addiction in our community.
Questions for Judge Clausen?
Judge.
Justice Kendrick.
I don't have a question, Judge. I just want to say thank you for coming and giving us an update. And for all those that don't know, Judge and his staff went out and they applied for a grant, got that, came to the court. We worked with them to authorize those funds. And they've been, what you just heard here is a lot of work that's went into that and reporting back on everything they've been doing to help these folks that need it. So thank you for coming and giving us an update, Judge.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Further questions or comments? I just have to echo that. I don't think I can say it any better than Justice Kendrick did. But, you know, just everything about that program, I won't ask for a show of hands, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, more than half the people in this room have been affected personally through their family, maybe even themselves or their friends, by all that you're trying to help fix. We've all been around and we've all seen grant programs. This is the most impressive one that I've seen. And I've seen it from outside this courtroom. And I just appreciate your personal ownership of trying to make this successful for the people who are suffering from that and making our community better. It just looks really good from the outside looking in. Really appreciate your efforts. And Julian, too. Everybody else.
Well, with the partnership, obviously, we have and the work that y'all have helped me complete to date, I mean, we've made a big impact already. But there's a lot more work to do. And I'm gonna keep you informed. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving right along, old business, tab number 3, members of the court. Proposed ordinance 25-19, Palarm Station, third reading. Obviously, this is the subject of most of the or all of the comments from the public. And I would remind everyone, or if this is your first time, this is the third and final reading. We've given this full measure. There's no emergency clause. This was read once a month. This is the last and final meeting. There will be, presumably, a vote tonight. It will be up for that. And so I will entertain a motion.
So moved. I'll make a motion to pass Ordinance 25-19.
Second.
Motion and second. We have a reading, please.
Proposed Ordinance 25-19, sponsored by Justice Strain, being enacted by the Quorum Court, Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an ordinance to approve the filing of an application by Palarm Station Incorporated for a private club to be located at 941 Highway 365, Mayflower, Faulkner County, Arkansas.
All right, members, any questions or comments?
Your Honor, if I could.
Justice Strain, you're recognized.
Thank you. I think from the comments that you guys have heard and they've spoken to us, not all of us have been here every time, but they've spoken to us a few times, and you can tell from the testimony that you've heard tonight that these people are salt of the earth. They're valued, respected members of our community. They continue to contribute to the community. I think that they're trying to do something good for our community. There is a need for a restaurant like this. You know, I think some people have expressed that they're concerned about the drinking. You know, the thing is that the people that are overindulging or abusing alcohol are not going to be the clientele of this restaurant. They'll drive right past that restaurant to the liquor stores in Pulaski County and buy their cases of beer and go back home or go over wherever they go and continue to get drunk. The restaurant's not going to have any effect on that. So I don't think we should really hold them guilty of that. I've also heard that some people were concerned that, oh, it's going to open the floodgates and other people are going to come running but to get their liquor license. But I think the issue with that is we are setting a standard that in Faulkner County, having a drink with your meal is an acceptable use of alcohol. Overindulging, driving drunk, and those kind of things are not acceptable uses of alcohol in this county. And we're going to hold, I hope we're going to hold fast to that standard. I think that, I know that some people have strong feelings about that, but you know, there's 64, I think, restaurants in Conway that do serve alcohol, and I think most of us eat there without giving it a second thought. So I'd just like to see that we don't discriminate against Rusty and Robin and Tim and the Mayflower community. They deserve a restaurant where they can relax with their families and have a drink while they're eating. And so if I guess I would just close by saying that, you know, if you have really strong feelings against that, I would just ask that you not try to hurt the people of Mayflower. They need this restaurant, and please be considerate of their. This has been, I've talked to lots of people in Mayflower and in those communities, and it has been unanimous that they want this restaurant. I have not heard a single solitary person, even amongst people that you would consider to be religious, that are opposed to giving them the liquor license for this restaurant. So I would just ask your consideration. Please don't. I mean, if you don't want it in your part of the county, that's fine. But Mayflower needs a restaurant, and I'd please appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Further comments?
If I may, Judge.
Justice Lyon?
Apologize. I was not here for the second reading, so I didn't get to ask any questions since the first reading. This is a kind of a random question. With the liquor licenses, being in a restaurant, is there a statute that as far as percentage of sales of alcohol versus food? And there may not be an answer for that, but I'm just curious.
First of all, let me ask Counselor, do you have the answer offhand? All right. I'm going to break order for just a second, ask you to identify yourself and state your knowledge and qualification to answer that question.
Absolutely. I'm Michael Langley. I'm the former director of alcohol beverage control for the state of Arkansas.
I think that counts. Go ahead. If you can address this question.
There is not a requirement other than you have to have food, but you have to serve meals. It cannot be come in and get crackers and chips and call that a meal. You have to serve meals. Generally, the ABC prefers that you serve two meals a day, lunch and dinner, that's made available. And if you're not me, and it's a full menu, and it's a what you would consider a full meal. Or when I say full meal, that's steak, baked potato, salad. It's not a burger and fries, depending on which county you're in, might work. But for the most part, it doesn't. You can't do a microwave pizza and call it a meal. It is not allowed under the rules of the ABC.
Thank you very much, Vice Mason.
Thank you for letting me in.
If I may continue, Judge?
Yes.
So I agree with Justice Strain. I think this is a great location, and I kind of asked the question on purpose. You know, this is not going to be a package store. It's not just to pick up a six-pack and go. It's sit down. You have to have a big meal and, you know, just sit there and indulge for a good half hour to an hour with the meal. So I agree with Justice Strain. I think this is great for the area. There's nothing south of Mayflower. And as the point up before, I mean, this is 2 minutes from Pulaski County and the liquor store. So something being brought back in, take some of that tax leakage out of Pulaski and bring it back to Faulkner. So thank you.
Thank you, Justice Lyon. Any other questions or comments?
Yes, Your Honor.
Ms. Allison?
Is there an estimated gross revenue per year with alcohol and without alcohol? Is there any kind of a projection on that business-wise? Okay. So I just want to leave my comments by saying, first, I have nothing against any of you guys. None of you people who spoke, I have nothing against them. I'm not here to judge you or anything like that. But I'll be voting against this, mainly because of two reasons. One is 2014, this county put to vote whether or not to become a wet county, and they voted it down. That's the last, I think it was 2014, mm-hmm. when they decided, the voters in this county decided they didn't want this to be a wet county. I know there are restaurants, I know there are private clubs in Conway and other places. I can't, in good conscience, vote for that against the will of the voters of the county, in my opinion, and someone will indulge, maybe not even overindulge, but they will leave your restaurant after having drank, and if they had a wreck, hit a kid on a bicycle, ran into a car, even killed one of them in the car that they're driving in, I could not live with myself having voted to allow that to happen. While that same person may drive to Maumelle, and they may drive to Conway and do the same thing, it's not because of my vote that they did that. There was a time in my life when I would have voted very differently, would have looked at this very differently. But in 2011, my daughter was shot and killed at a party, nothing like your proposed establishment, nothing like that, at a party where she shouldn't have been. She was shot and killed by a man who was drunk and high, and ever since that, my views on alcohol have changed. I'm in District 3, and I believe that my voters would vote me out if I voted for this tonight. And so that's why I'm going to be voting against this tonight. Thank you. Again, no disrespect. No judgment.
Thank you, Justice Allison. Poignant. Other comment?
I just have one comment to make, and then my brief show of support. I believe the 2014 referendum that Justice Allison mentioned was a signature-gathering initiative and did not qualify because it did not gather enough signatures in time. It wasn't because it actually made it on the ballot and was voted down. There was, I believe, some catastrophic weather events that prevented the signature gatherers from collecting enough signatures, and I just want to point that out for the court and for the audience. I've heard nothing negative from anybody on this issue. I've heard a ton of positive outreach, a ton of positive support. It's obvious that the community in Mayflower supports this. And as an elected official, I'm personally not here to put my personal agenda up front. I'm here to respond to the community of Faulkner County, and I see no reason why I personally could not support this, because it's obvious that the people in this county and in this area do support it, so I'll be casting an affirmative vote in support of it tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Pearson. Further comments? Justice Meeks.
Thank you. Again, I've been listening both for and against, and again, you know, I'm going to echo a lot what Justice Allison had said. Nothing against the folks, nothing against the people down there. But again, the county, whether it was in 2014 or before, it voted to be a dry county. Every election, they have the opportunity to bring it back up, and it hasn't been brought back up. And again, I understand the politics of that, the cost of doing that. And I guess folks are just okay with kind of the system that we have in place. But as of right now, we're a dry county. And so I have to go by that, and then I also have to look at my voters, my community as well, and where I'm at, they have said we don't want any kind of alcohol establishment at all, period. And so they've told me that they don't want it, and so that's why I'm going to be voting no. I'm just, again, yes, personal, but also to my community, my voters have said no. And so until we go wet, that's going to be my stance. Thank you, Judge.
Justice Meeks, thank you. Further comments, questions? Yes, Justice Yorgi.
I have a question of clarification. It's been brought up a couple of times about the fact that we live in a dry county. My understanding is that the dry county refers specifically to the retail sale of alcohol. Is that a correct understanding of what it means that we are in a dry county?
Yeah, I think you're getting into some semantics. I'll ask counselor here if Mr. Murphy, if
that's,
you would.
That's correct. It's a retail sales issue. We're clearly not a completely dry county. There's alcohol sales within certain restaurant establishments in certain cities.
Okay. So I feel like while it is reasonable to bring up the point that we live in a county that voters have preferred over the history of our County to limit the retail sale of alcohol. It seems like having alcohol available in a restaurant is a significantly different type of activity than the retail sale of alcohol. And I would not personally weight that the same way in this consideration today. Clearly, the voters have spoken over history on the issue of retail, but I think that Mayflower has a pretty unique opportunity to provide a new amenity in their community. Their community is growing, and I would love to see that neighborhood, that business flourish. And so I will be supporting this, especially given the very vocal support that I have heard from that community and the support there that they want to have this business in their community.
Thank you, Justice Yorgi. For the comments.
Judge.
Justice Kendrick.
Yeah, just I would like to comment to Rusty, Robin, and Tim. I just appreciate y'all's professionalism and coming to all these meetings, the information that we've received, and as well as everybody that I've talked to down in the Mayflower and surrounding community. It's been overwhelmingly, I think Justice Strain said unanimous, it's true. Everybody down there in y'all's neck of the woods wants this. You're clearly investing in your community, trying to offer something that's really nice and unique where people don't have to go down to Maumelle to Cypress Social or give some more options with here in the county. I just want to say I appreciate all of you, all the feedback we've gotten. It's all been very positive, very professional. Look forward to supporting this. Thank you.
Justice Strain.
I thought a lot about the dry and the wet county, and I think that one thing, like Justice Yorgi just said, is that I don't think I would want to really go to a wet county, because then you open the door for all the liquor stores and the honky-tonk bars and that kind of thing. And I think what's really nice about the situation that we have is that we can determine what is an acceptable use of alcohol. And sitting down and having a drink with a meal is an acceptable use. We have the power in this county to make that clarification. You know, we don't want the guy that's buying a bunch of beer and getting drunk and running over our kids. We want responsible citizens in our county. And I think that's what Rusty and Rob and Tim are offering. We have the ability, we have the right to make that determination. So I would say too, I'm not in favor of a wet county. I'm glad that I'm not in Pulaski County, where there's a liquor store on every county, on every corner. You know, I think it's very nice here, but I also like to have the option to sit down and have a little wine with a big piece of salmon or something. You know, I look forward to that at Plarm Creek. I hope that you guys will consider that possibility. I appreciate it.
Justice Strain, thank you. Further comments or questions? Madam Secretariat, roll call vote.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
No.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Meeks.
No.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Schock.
No.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
No.
Yorgi.
Yes.
Seven, but yeses, Your Honor.
Seven votes. The motion carries. The ordinance passes.
Yep.
And I will just thank you. We'll allow some mild applause, but we do observe order, whether good or bad. Thank you for that. I appreciate you being here in numbers and really observing that, because I know feelings are strong, really. I'm on both ends of the spectrum there. I appreciate our court, the diligence. I want to congratulate Justice Strain. I mean, clearly, let's don't dance around it. It's a tough issue. No matter how strongly you feel in favor of it, it's a tough issue for our quorum court. I personally don't begrudge any of our justices for the feelings and opinions they put on display. And I want to thank each of them in public right here today for doing just that. You know, sometimes there are some tough votes. I appreciate you signing up to undertake the votes. Moving along, next item of business on our agenda, We have tab number 4, proposed ordinance 25-22. It's an appropriation.
Judge, I have a motion for the passage of proposed ordinance 25-22.
Second.
Motion second. Can we have a reading, please?
Proposed ordinance 25-22 being enacted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 24-52, dated November 20th, 2024, and to declare an emergency.
Justice Lasky, could you give us a brief overview?
Thank you, Judge. Yes, sir. We're going to start with Section 2. So our county clerk came across a deal going on from the scanning people. This amount of money is to preserve several marriage record books dating back to the late 1800s. There's a potential that we could get a grant to cover some of this, but we kind of had to lock in the deal. And so she can speak more to that if y'all have questions there. So I'm going to skip down to Section 6 is no new money. It's just being moved within the fund so that we can spend it the way we need to spend it. I believe that has to do with some of the consolidation stuff that happened. There was a couple others that we talked about. Section 14, just because that's what we call new money on the back. Back when we created this budget, there was no overtime appropriated, so we need to appropriate some overtime in the OEM office there. I think that's all we talked about in our committee meeting. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you for that overview. Any questions or comments? Pretty standard, for those of you who are new, pretty standard monthly ordinance where we go. All of us besides our county clerk like to call it monthly cleanup, but we give her deference. But it's a smorgasbord of typically minor items. Any questions or comments?
Yes, Judge. I just have a question on Section 6. I may be out of turn, and this could be a different conversation. So with the consolidation and everything shifted to the city of Conway, so what is the county still on the hook for as far as the 911 services at the CEOC, seeing that everything was consolidated under the city of Conway?
Really two aspects of that question. I'm going to toss it to former Justice, now current County Administrator Randy Higgins.
Thank you.
Ole Abbotts.
So obviously the first line does have to do with overtime. The other issues has to do with the county firefighter repeaters. We have 4 repeaters, and so we changed service contracts. In essence, we terminated a relationship with our service provider for our communications gear at the county level when we brought in our new vendor, and we suspected we had issues. When we brought in the new vendor, we found issues. These were really left over from us, the county, and so when we want to hand these repeaters over to maintenance, to the new 911 center, we want to turn them over in good working condition.
Thank you, Mr. Yeah. Yes. So I appreciate that. That actually clarifies a lot. And I know it's not the right place to say, but I really appreciate everything the county and, again, the city's done with this PSAP consolidation, because I think Faulkner County and City of Conway are one of the first ones in the entire state, and it's been a nightmare because I'm in the middle of one right now. So yeah. I really appreciate it, and thanks for the clarification.
And I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag a little bit. I spoke with Director Sean Kennedy. He is working with the city because the employees are actually city employees, and he's doing some restructuring to actually get a technician online without any additional headcount. And that technician will also be able to help us maintain and work with our vendor on these firefighter towers and everything. So the collaboration continues. Yes, sir.
Thank you for those comments. Thank you for stepping up, Administrator Higgins. And then, Justice Lyon, appreciate your comments. And, you know, members of the court went through that timeline and all the uncertainty, and it's a big deal. When people dial 911, they want it to work. And without going into any detail, a lot had to happen for us to comply with state-mandated consolidation of 911 public service answering points. Or when you dial 911, all the black box stuff that happens with all of the agencies that depend on that in order to be dispatched for whatever need, fire, EMS, law enforcement, so forth. So big operation that cannot mess up, It's got to work every time. And yeah, I want to thank everybody. One that has not been mentioned, I certainly want to appreciate everybody at the Judge's Administration, certainly Randy Higgins, but Director Kennedy, the mayor and city council, city of Conway, and all the staff out there, and all of the former county employees who are now employees of that, who report to the director, then to the board, or classified for HR purposes as city employees, but we no doubt still claim as people we love for what they do. Thank you for that. Thank you for tossing me the ball, Justice Lyon. Any other questions on this ordinance? Justice Yorgi.
I would like just a little more clarification on which of these sections represent a new appropriation versus which ones are already appropriated and just moving funds.
I'll just give you the thumbnail sketch here. So if you look at section 2, 18.5 is appropriated from county general fund versus looking at section 3, 15.410 is transferred within county general fund. So a lot of times you'll see the that transferred in kind of or appropriated from language. You know, the kind of caveat is if we look at, let's say, section 10, is because they're kind of put there together, that signals to me that that's some sort of pass-through grant. Basically, we're being reimbursed for something. You know, we're receiving it into county general, but then we're also going ahead and directly appropriating that for whatever we spent it on. Does that make sense?
Sure. Okay. So, as I'm reading it correctly, section 2 and section 14 would be new appropriations from the county general fund. Is that correct?
Sections 2 and 14 are new appropriations from our county general fund. I'll go ahead and call attention to section 1. You can see as 4,000 appropriated from county general apportioned fund. It's a little different fund for a little different reason. It's still considered a county general fund. We didn't speak to that in committee meeting, but basically the purpose of this section 1 is that when you have someone who's been with the assessor's office for, I'm just going to make up a number, 20 years, and they've accumulated a certain amount of vacation time, when they leave, they can get paid out for that vacation time. So that's what section 1 is about, I believe. Chrissy can correct me if I'm wrong. But yes, ma'am. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to draw attention to the treasurer's report. I noticed that in our county general line item, we have increased the budget of the county general to beyond what was originally estimated as available to appropriate by over $100,000 already this year. So I just want to raise that and make sure that we don't continue to just blindly appropriate more things out of county general when we've already committed more than we kind of set out to commit.
Zlohosky.
I very much appreciate your attention to that detail. The one part of that, and I think if Treasurer Sanson was here, he could correct us, and Margaret or the Chief Deputy may be able to help us. Part of that, I think, had to do with the payments that we were due from the state for the jail inmate days that we received. Because if you also look in the treasurer's statement that we have, you can see our county general revenues chart makes that substantial uptick a month or two ago.
April to May.
And that's when we...
Or $5 million jump.
Yes, and so I don't really exactly know how to translate that onto the first sheet, but I think that's what makes this okay to answer shortly.
To echo that, Justice Yorgi, I would just say there's plenty of money available to appropriate for this particular ordinance. That's not an issue.
Thank you. So, Justice Zlohosky, if I understand what you're saying correctly, the estimated available to appropriate may have been an underestimate. Given that we had not been reimbursed for a significant number of expenses.
I believe that's correct. Yes, ma'am.
I concur.
Yep.
Great question, though.
Great question.
Yeah. Public finance is not easy, to say the least. Especially, well, I won't say that, Chief. I think Chief knows what I'm talking about, but that has nothing to do with anybody in this room, by the way. Great question. Any other questions or comments? Roll call vote, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Nyan.
Yes.
Meeks.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Schott.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Yorgi.
Yes.
Motion carries. Ordinance passes. Next, we move to tab number 5. You've got tab number 5 in your binders. 25-23. It's an SRO, Mount Vernon, Enola School. We have a motion.
Motion to put ordinance 25-23 on the table.
Second.
Margaret, did you get those?
Who wants it? I heard Lion.
Can we have a reading, please?
Proposed ordinance 25-23, sponsored by Justice Justin Knight, be enacted by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 24-52, dated November 20th, 2024, in order to create one new position for school resource officer pursuant to the proposed memorandum of understanding between Mount Vernon Enola School District and the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office, and to declare an emergency.
Chief Woolley, do you have any comments?
So we began, I believe, sometime back in June, Mount Vernon Enola School District hired a new superintendent. And Mr. Watson, and we kind of began talking, and we shared the same concerns and passions, and that's where was for the safety of our students and our staff mm-hmm. when they leave the comforts of their house and they go to school. So obviously they have budget constraints and manpower, same as we do, but we talked over for a few weeks, and I proposed to them some documentation about the partnership that we have with Greenbrier School District as far as their two county SRO deputies. Mr. Watson took that to his school board, and his school board unanimously voted to fund a SRO for Mount Vernon School District through the Sheriff's Office.
Excellent. Excellent. And I failed to see who actually sponsored this ordinance, but if anyone would like to chime in with some color there.
I think it was Justice Knight that actually sponsored it, but some of the discussion and personnel that we had, and Chief, you can correct me if I'm wrong, this is the same MOU that we have set up with them. It's the same song and dance as far as us providing the SRO during the school times, and when it's not school times and when they're not training, that's a resource for the Sheriff's Office. So it's worked out really well with the other SRO positions that we've established, and I think this is another good thing because the school district wants it and we're able to help them out.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Justice Kendrick. Any others? Questions or comments?
Chief, I just want to thank you again publicly here. I told you in the committee meetings, I served on the governor's school safety commission twice, one at first after the Parkland shooting and then after the Uvalde shooting, and to me, you can't harden a school enough.
Yes,
and
sir.
The idea, the fact that y'all, Faulkner County Sheriff's Department, is working with schools to try to get a resource officer in every single school campus, that's the most important finding we found. We had come out of both those commissions was we need an armed good guy on every campus. No matter what you create, no matter what you build, the bad guys can figure out some way around it.
Yes, sir.
They got to get it right one time. We got to get it right every single time. And the best way to do that is to have a deputy sheriff or a certified law enforcement officer on site, ready to respond. I appreciate your work there. I appreciate what you're doing. And to me, that's a cheap price to pay for the safety of kids.
Thank you, sir.
Just Allison, thank you. Any others? Just Shorgie.
I was listening to the discussion earlier in the committee, and I thought I heard that there are two school resource officers in the district. Can you clarify which position is being funded by which entity and how that relates to the ordinance here in front of us?
Yes, ma'am. So the Sheriff's Office has had at least one SRO deputy that's funded by the county, the Sheriff's Office. Mount Vernon Enola School District is a two-district campus. You have pre-K through sixth grade at the elementary, and about 10 or 12 minutes down the street, you have seventh grade through high school. Our, the Sheriff's Office funded SRO has assisted at Mount Vernon School. The school has decided, especially with the new superintendent, he came from a district that had them in every building, and he goes, when seconds count, we don't have time to drive from two campuses. So one will assist at one campus, and the new SRO paid by the school will be at the other campus.
So the appropriation that we are considering here, there's nothing listed in terms of anticipated revenue. So is that a position that we're expecting to be reimbursed from the school district?
Go ahead. Chief, do you want to, or you want me to jump in?
I mean, we bill Greenbrier School District on a monthly basis.
Okay.
So it'll be the same. They'll reimburse us for the cost of the salary and benefits of that deputy for the entire year.
Yep.
Yes, ma'am.
And just to chime in there, Chief, if you look at the second whereas, it talks about that, and the school district covers the personnel costs, and we cover the vehicle, the training, and the equipment.
Yes,
so that's the agreement that we made.
Very good. Thank you, Chief. Any other questions or comments? Roll call vote, please.
Desharm. Allison.
Yes.
Kendrick.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Meeks.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Yorgi.
Yes.
Motion carries. Ordinance passes. Next item on the agenda, appointments. There are none. Announcements? Any announcements? Seeing none.
Judge, sorry, announcements. Ooh. I don't know if I'm jumping the gun or not, but we were reminded that next month is the fair. So our regular quorum court meeting will also be changed as well. Is that correct?
TBD, to be discussed. Look at your email or the website.
Judge, that may be defined in our organizational ordinance.
Yeah.
That it moves to the Thursday.
If you recall it offhand, I just don't.
I think it moves to the Thursday.
Yeah. Is that correct, Counselor?
All right.
Yeah. Quorum Court's on Thursday. Any other announcements? If it's very lengthy, I'm going to have to take a bathroom recess. I just got to tell you. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
We're adjourned.